And I just want to pause and pray this morning for that. Father God, we just thank you. We come to you this morning, God, and we lift up our nation, God, to you this morning. God, I lift up every leader, every person that you've appointed. You've put them there for a reason, whether it's for a test of for us or for what purpose that we don't understand. God, and I just believe this morning that there's reason. And I pray, God, that you would remove the people that are not supposed to be in leadership and that you would put godly people in leadership. And I pray, God, that we would do everything that you've called us to do, step up and to lead something, God, that we would do that. We think that it might be something small and it won't make a difference, but it will make a difference, whether it just be in our neighborhood, in our community, or in our city, God. I pray that you would allow and equip each one of us to see those opportunities and that we would answer the call and we would step up and say, yes, I will do that because you've called me to do it. And I pray that every attack from the enemy, every fear that the enemy tries to speak against us, I rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. It has no power. And I just pray, God, that you would equip your saints to do the work that you've called them to do. God, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We welcome Pastor David O'Brien to bring us the word.
Okay. Our young people are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And I love our young people. I really thank the Lord for them. I do pray for them. And so I requested that we have a young person in the earlier service read the scripture and offer prayer. And Peyton, are you? I think, is that right? Okay, come right ahead, Peyton. And Peyton is going to read our chapter 15, and he's also going to offer prayer. So God bless.
Bear with me, guys. It's King James Version. All right. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Here we go. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If you all would, bow your heads, close your eyes as we go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, for this opportunity to be with you today. I thank you for everyone here in this room. I may not know everyone here, but you do, Lord. You know all of us. You knew us before we were even born. And you loved us, and you died on the cross to save us. For even though we sin, even though we reject you pretty much every day, Lord, we're imperfect human beings, but you still died for us because your love for us is so great. And I thank you. I thank you that we're here right now. I thank you that there's still breath in our lungs. There's still time for us to just get even closer with you, God. And I thank you for David O'Brien, Lord, that he's about to deliver a great sermon, Lord. He delivered a great sermon last service, and I know that it will be great today in this second service, Lord. And I just pray that you be with him, give him the words to speak. And I pray that you enter the hearts and minds of everyone sitting here, that they will all learn something from today, that they'll all have something that they've learned that they'll take home with, something to ponder on, something great. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Yeah, you can put it down there. Thank you, Peyton. I want to share today about a woman's remarkable faith. There are only two occasions in God where Jesus said that a person had great faith. This is one of those occasions. The other one was the Roman centurion. Both individuals were Gentiles. They were not Jewish. And on those two occasions, Jesus remarked and said they had great faith. About a woman's remarkable faith. And as I was in prayer, I usually spend a lot of time, quite a bit of time, in preparation. But as I was in prayer yesterday, after everything was prepared, the faith of the... And he also... Oh, okay. Turn this one on. All right. And he also deepened the faith of this woman. Have you ever seen someone who was demon-possessed? How would you recognize such a person? Are there demon-possessed people in our society today? Would you say that someone who is a mass murderer is demon-possessed? Would you say that an abortionist is demon-possessed? Would you say those who, during the Olympics, just blasphemed our Lord and the Lord's Supper, would you say that was demon possession? Would you say that a person who lies in wait to murder a police officer is demon possessed? What do you think of when the Bible gives a report of someone who is demon-possessed? In our scripture, in verse 21, Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This is the only time during Jesus' ministry that he entered Gentile territory. Tyre and Sidon were cities on the Mediterranean seacoast, about 30 miles and 50 miles from Galilee, respectively. Scripture tells us in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31 that Sidon had been the home of Queen Jezebel. So now we see the Son of God entering this region, perhaps to take a break from all the daily demands of ministry. You and I know a little bit of what it is to take a break from some of the stresses of life, the demands of life. We call it a vacation. And our pastor, whom we all love, and Sister Treva, they certainly earn, they well deserve their vacation, and I know you deserve yours as well. But we see that Jesus was taking a break from the demands of ministry. Parallel passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 7, verse 24 tells us, from there he, Jesus, arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Humanly speaking, Jesus needed a break. But as Mark reports, he could not be hidden. Even without modern technology, news about Jesus traveled fast. No computers in that day. No mass media technology, but the message about Jesus Christ traveled fast wherever he went. Mark reports in chapter 7, verse 25, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. She had heard about Jesus, and apparently she made her way to the house where Jesus was staying. Now to our text, verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. This Gentile woman was a Canaanite. Mark tells us that she was Greek. Mark 7, verse 26, she was Greek and a Syrophoenician by birth. The Phoenicians were descended from the original inhabitants of Palestine. And for many years, the Canaanites were enemies of God's people. So God himself told Moses in Exodus 33, verse 2, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites. So we see the Savior of the world arriving in Gentile territory. Verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. You know, unlike many people in our society today, who would not recognize demon possession, this woman knew her daughter was possessed by a demon. In all my years of public ministry, and over 50 years, and I married a young wife. She doesn't look near as old as I have for all the wear and tear, but for my 50 years of ministry, in all those years, I have never heard one prayer request by anyone who ever said, Would you please pray for my daughter, my son, my parent, my relative, my friend? Would you pray for that person because they're demon-possessed? Not one person. We might pray an unspoken request. We take those. And I'm not necessarily saying they have to do with demon possession. But that's not what this woman did. She did not care who knew about her daughter's situation. She was desperate for an answer. And Jesus' disciples certainly knew about her need, for they said in verse 23, she cries out after us. You can almost hear the desperation in this woman's voice. Even today, in verse 22, Have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Mark 7, verse 26 tells us she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Again and again and again and again and again she cried, Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, Master, have mercy upon me because my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Verse 23, but he answered her, not a word. So the question comes to our minds, why didn't Jesus answer her? After all, this woman had a respectful faith. She addressed Jesus respectfully. She was respectful of the Jewish religion. I hope that there are no churches anymore. However, I'm not deluded that are only meet together to show mutual respect to God. We don't want to go any deeper in the things of God because we might lose our self-respect if we did. In her thinking, Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. She was aware, humanly speaking, that Jesus was Jewish. So the words she spoke in her mind were to an Israelitish Messiah. And she was respectful of that when she addressed Jesus as the son of David. She showed her respect for the Jewish faith. You know, I think sometimes that's all some people do when we go out on street reach. I think sometimes people are just saying, well, I'm a Christian. But ask them, how did you become a Christian? What evidences of Christ do you have in your life? What changes has he brought in your life? I asked a man not too long ago that very question. What changes did Jesus bring in your life? He said, not much. So there are people who are respectful of the Jewish faith. Jesus answered her, not a word. You know, if we are not careful, we can get into the habit of boiling down our religion to respect for God. We boil down our religion just to tradition. We boil it down to a formula. We boil our religion down to tradition or ritual. On one occasion in Luke 22, verse 41-42, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. And this woman, just like the Pharisees, knew the right words to say. But right words and right traditions and right rituals do not guarantee an answer from God. But he answered her not a word. Now, while all this is true, it must be emphasized, sometimes, even though God is silent, he still cares. Don't forget that. In your personal prayer life, it may seem to you as your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. And we come to church and we worship, and in the private prayer life, we feel like our prayers are having little to no effect. But my dear friend, don't mistake that and think that God doesn't care. God's silence is not necessarily a refusal. And though this woman was desperate, and she was in distress, and though Jesus was silent to this point, this woman displayed a resilient faith. Look at verse 23 of our text. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. The New Living Translation puts it this way. She is bothering us with all her begging. Can you get an idea of the clamor that was going on? Here was a woman who was in a desperate need. Her daughter was literally possessed by demons. And the disciples of Jesus are saying at the same time, here she is crying out, and they're saying, send her away, get rid of her. The woman is pleading, help me, have mercy on me, son of David. Tears are streaming down her cheeks as she is desperately, she's continuously crying out, my daughter, oh Lord, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. And the disciples are saying, keep her quiet. Be quiet. Get rid of her. The unsympathetic disciples, God help us that we be not like them. When somebody is coming with a legitimate need, that we're just not only too busy, well, they just annoy us sometimes. We don't want them around. In today's vernacular, the disciples might be saying, you know, get rid of her. She just keeps bugging us. She's getting under our skin. But the scripture tells us in verse 24, he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The woman understood that Jesus was Jewish and he was the Jewish Messiah, but her understanding was limited. Jesus addressed what she could understand to teach her what she did not understand. You know how true that is in our lives? Jesus oftentimes will teach us from what we understand to take us beyond that to what we do not understand. And so, to bring some perspective to what Jesus said to this woman, listen to God's message to Ezekiel. And Jesus said, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 30, 31, thus they shall know that I am the Lord their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. That adds some perspective. Jesus, the good shepherd, was always caring about his flock. Jesus cares about you. You may think not many people know me, and I don't have any influence, and I really don't know too many people. But my friend, you are part of God's flock, and Jesus takes deep personal interest in every one of you. If you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you on the cross. He has personally invested his blood in your salvation. So it is we read in verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You can almost hear the pitiful tone in the woman's voice. As the disciples are saying, get rid of her, send her away. And she's there with tears running down her cheeks. And she's saying, oh, Messiah, oh, Son of David, please have mercy on me. Help me. When the scripture says she came and worshiped, it literally means that she bowed down, knelt down, and cried. Tears are running down her cheeks. You know, the words of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8 describe how this woman must have felt. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. You ever felt that way? This woman truly had a resilient faith. And what is a message that is for us to learn today? In spite of how discouraged she might have become, she kept bouncing back. I'll tell you what, when I see that lady in heaven, I'm going to just pat her back. I may give her a hug because she just inspires me. I hope she inspires you too. But not only that, thank God we have men and women in here today who have such a faith in Jesus Christ. You look at their lives and it just inspires you. You think, boy, I don't know if I can keep on keeping on. But there are men and women of God in this place who are walking a life of faith, and it truly inspires us. What a resilient faith this woman had. She just kept bouncing back. More than that, there's something that really struck me about this woman's faith. Now, keep in mind that Jesus said what he said because he was developing her faith. All that she knew when she came to him was he was Jewish Messiah. But he wanted to deepen her faith and her relationship with him. Notice that she had a relentless faith. Verse 26 and 27, he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, "Yes, Lord. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know, there are times in every believer's life that God will test our faith. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, friend, God knows what's in our hearts, every one of us. But quite often, we don't know what's in our hearts. And that's why God declares in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And that's what was happening here. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was testing the caliber of this woman's faith. He was developing her faith and taking her to a personal encounter with him. You see, Jesus was doing a couple things here. He was not only interested in answering the prayer, the heartbreak that this woman had. He was not only interested in this woman's daughter. Jesus was interested in the woman. So he wanted to meet both needs. You know how often sometimes we come for our prayer. Thank God for every elder, every deacon. I love every one of them. We have a great team here. But I'll tell you what, so often we come forward and we ask for prayer, you know, for so-and-so and whomever, and they may not even be here. And at the same time, God is wanting to do a deeper work in us. Not just the guy we want prayer for, but God is saying, "Hey, wait a minute. There's a work I want to do in you as well." So he said in verse 26, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." To understand what Jesus was saying, you must realize that scavenger dogs would roam the streets and eat anything on the street, including garbage. They were regarded by Jews as an unclean animal. For a Jew to call a Gentile a dog meant that that Gentile was considered unclean. He was an idolatrous heathen. And that's why the giant Goliath hollered to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" That was not the term Jesus used here. He was referring to household pets. You see it there in verse 26. "But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." To take the children's bread would be to take the spiritual riches intended for the Jews and give them to the little dogs, the Gentiles. Children would always be fed before a dog was fed. And the woman was undaunted in her faith. Her faith was relentless. Many people, if they had been in this woman's shoes, they'd been insulted. "Well, how dare you talk to me that way? You calling me a little dog? Well, I don't need you." And we would have walked off in disgust. Some people would have been angry. "Well, you can't talk to me that way. Do you know who I am? My father owns the Chevrolet dealership downtown." No, I don't know. Forgive me if you own it, because I know I won't be getting any free Chevrolet from anybody. Some people would have been discouraged. "Oh, well, I might as well give up. I'm a little dog." You know, all kinds of reactions people would have had. Some people would have just been offended. And they would have said, "Well, if you're going to talk to me this way, I'll tell you what I think of you." My friend, listen to this woman as she speaks. Verse 27. Yes, Lord, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This woman now understood that Jesus was more than just the Messiah of the Jews. He was her Messiah. She now understood that he's truly her Lord. He's her Savior, her Master. And even so, she does not feel qualified to sit at the Master's table. She doesn't feel as though she's worthy to be there. But maybe God would just give her a crumb of his mercies. You know, in Ephesians 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul described himself as being less than the least of all the saints. And this woman could undoubtedly identify with the Apostle Paul. She realized that she was utterly unworthy to sit at the Master's table. How low could she go? After all, she was a little dog. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. She was a heathen. The message of Lamentations 3, verse 22 was true of this woman as it is of us. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. This woman had a relentless faith. Listen, my friend, if you do not get an answer from Jesus right away and he hasn't responded, remember, his silence doesn't necessarily mean refusal, but God is wanting to do something more than just answer your prayer. He's wanting to deepen your faith, develop your faith into a personal relationship with him. Well, you know, this woman's faith was relentless, and it did not matter to her what it cost her to get an answer. You could hear it in her voice. Jesus, give me what I don't deserve. Just a crumb from the Master's table. The Lord God Almighty, just a crumb from the banquet table of Jesus Christ is a veritable feast when it falls from his table. Do you need a crumb of God's mercy today? To what lengths will you go to get an answer? Do you feel undeserving, unworthy of receiving an answer? This woman's faith was remarkable. And even though she felt undeserving and felt unworthy, she was persistent. She was undeterred. Now, I just want to share one last thing very briefly. This woman had a respectful faith. There's a lot of respectful religion that doesn't want to go beyond that. But she also had a resilient faith. She had a relentless faith, but notice that she had a rewarded faith. Verse 28. Bible tells us, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. My friend, you may have been praying for someone for years. Don't give up. You have great faith. Yeah, I know that God's silence is not necessary. It's not a refusal when it comes to the salvation of a soul. So my friend, hang in there. The Bible tells us in Romans 4, verse 20, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And this woman's faith was rewarded like Abraham's faith. Mark 30 adds another little snapshot explaining to us. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So, my friend, What crumb of God's mercy do you need today? Healing for a broken relationship? Broken home? What crumb of mercy do you need from Him? Healing for a broken body? Do you need deliverance from an addiction? What do you need? Direction. Maybe your life is just wayward and you're gone in circles and you have no sense of direction. That was the Greeks' understanding, their philosophy of life was it's just going on in circles and it made no sense. What crumb of God's mercy do you need? Grace to overcome a bad habit? Psalm 145, verse 14 and verse 19. The Lord upholds all those who fall. Oh, there's hope for all of us. He upholds all those who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Jesus heard the cry. He heard when this woman was pleading. He saved her and her daughter. He will do it for you if you just let Him. Just this last verse, Romans 3:29. Oh, I like this. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. He's here. My friend, you know, I think sometimes we kind of have it in our mind what we think God can do for us. And we kind of limit Him by our understanding. You know, this woman's understanding was just that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. But Jesus developed her faith. He's doing that for you and me. Not just answering our prayers, but He's developing our faith. And I just pray that you and I will come to a total commitment. Even if He's not answering right away. Even if He gives us an answer we don't understand, just keep on pressing on. Keep pressing in. Have a relentless faith. Have a resilient faith. And I believe God will do great miracles in every life. Let's have a word of prayer. I thank You, Lord, that Your word transforms lives. Oh God, thank You for the eternal word. Lord, there are people here today that need some miracles. There are people here today that are hurting. There are people here today like this woman who is crying and pleading and begging You for an answer. And some of Your people have not understood why no answer has come. They keep on pressing in. They keep on holding on. And yet, Lord, it seems, they wonder, will an answer ever come? But, oh God, You lift all who are fallen down. You hear the heart cry of all Your people. Now, Lord Jesus, by Your Holy Spirit, I ask You to stop at every seat right now. And in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, speak to every individual. Some are need healing. Some have broken hearts. Some are in anguish because of the spiritual condition in their home and in their family. Now, Lord, I ask You for miracles. And I ask You, Lord, You alone to be glorified. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what I think I will do? I'm just going to ask Brother Denny to come. I preached for years, and I was used to giving altar calls, but I'm kind of out of the habit now. But Brother Denny, he's always good, so good at giving the blessing, but I think God just gives him wisdom. So, Brother, the Lord bless you as you just feel that to do with the Lord.
Amen. God is good. He's good. You know, through that message, I was reminded of James chapter 1, where he says to consider it joy when you fall into different trials, because the trying of your faith builds patience, and that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, lacking nothing. So, Scripture tells us time and time again, patience is something that we need. Right? Stand with me, please. Don't forget, if you hadn't had a chance to download the Church Center app on your mobile device, please, we encourage you to do that. If you need help with that, there's plenty of people, Eugene in the back, Dale, myself, anybody, we can help you with that if we need to. We'll even get some of these teenagers to help if they need, because they're better at it than any of us anyway. So, but I encourage you, there's, you know, you can see all the different Sunday school classes, all the different events we have going on and everything, so really help you stay up to date. So I encourage you to do that. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.